Welcome back to the Virtual Compound. This month, we're discussing the impact of military life on our children in honor of Month of the Military Child, which is celebrated in April. I'm Amelia.
I'm Katie.
I'm Lacey. And it is 3:22 p.m. on a Tuesday here in sunny Southern California.
And it is 6:22 p.m. in a library in the middle of Annapolis, Maryland, where I am.
And it is 8:22 a.m. on Wednesday in Japan.
Weep. So getting around with our time travel. Someday we will be time traveling this.
Or at least this drastically.
Right, we'll see.
So I have to
throw this out here for all the listeners. Like, the kids are going nuts in this one today. We're not going to be showing the video for this episode, but just know that it is very fitting that that the things that are happening during a military kids one. I'm at the library.
Chaos.
Oh yeah. And the only reason mine isn't total chaos is that she needed crowns. And so she had to leave the room to go get crowns from the coloring station in the library. but back on track, now that
That's
we
adorable.
Have given the listenership a little bit of an idea of homeschool is happening at one house, toddler is demanding time at the other house, and elementary kid is needing crowns for homework while the big ones are at dance on all
yes.
sides of the country.
I have two at dance. I have one here doing school, and then I have a teenager getting off work. But the toddler is demanding her milk open so she can drink it like a big person,
right.
but she wants to walk with it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's
fine.
Yeah, that's all good. All is good. Talking about our kids and the lifestyle, aside from moves, which we talked about in our last episode, today we're talking about the general differences we experience between our lifestyle and the civilian counterparts. I did not grow up military. I grew up civilian.
Same here, and my internet's going to be really spotty, so we'll see how this episode goes. making friends is what everyone kind of goes to, and people know that we have to deal with deployments, but they might not know how it impacts our kids or, you know, what, you know, military brats have to deal with. We have a fairly strict household over here, and I kind of run everything in here. He goes and he does his job, but we're not typically intertwined with the community, I guess, because we don't live on base, and that's his job. He doesn't necessarily hang out or do things with those people on weekends, which a lot of families do. And I think that can be really helpful. But we get into a rhythm, and, you know, we have our roles and our goals. And I mean, that's kind of how we persevere and go through things. But I think that like our day-to-day lives are pretty similar to our civilian counterparts. But I mean, switching schools, I think, is a really big issue.
Definitely one of the hardest points for Zoe, not the school itself. And I know that like homeschool can help with that. It's not the schools itself, I think that it's all of the friends and just the general change that comes with switching schools that makes it really difficult for her. Hey, Josh. Hey, Clara.
Hi.
Oh, you guys are adorable.
Doing okay? Fractions kicking your butt?
No. Clara and I are fighting a pretty big head cold.
Oh.
Yeah. So I feel like kind of
just got over that.
Okay. Boom. I guess, Amelia, you haven't had to move the small ones, even homeschool district, like co-ops yet.
Not yet. I have not had to move schools I haven't had to move anything yet. Because when we moved to Japan, Josh was in like preschool. So that didn't really affect anything. Like moving, we've been really lucky because moving affected the kids because they realized they were like further away from their family and they weren't going to see our families as much. And Josh knew he was moving away from his friends, but he knew that he didn't know. And it's actually like now, I guess this season that we're in, we're the ones that are staying and the other people are going.
Right.
So they're like
Yeah.
the not left behind, but like they watch their friends leave instead of being the person that leaves.
Yeah.
And that's hard. But yeah, school-wise, we've been super lucky to be in the same place, and we'll be in the same place for 6 years, and that's like super wild. But we don't have plans to put the kids in public school right now,
Right.
or private school, or any school. So when we do move and change co-ops, that'll be interesting to see like what that's like, because we've literally been in the same co-op since we started homeschooling.
Yeah, that's one of
Yeah.
the things that I know some of the kids have answered, and we'll have questions that we asked our kids after we're kind of done talking with this for a little bit, and you'll get to hear their raw responses. But some of them brought up the schools and what it is about changing schools that's difficulty. I know Charlotte, she touches on that specifically. I know that for some of them, it's not the school itself or not the physical moving of school to school that's the problem. It's other parts of it that are the problem.
My
But
kids, so my kids have been homeschooled or done school in Japan. Emma had a very brief, like 3 months of kindergarten in Virginia, and I was very disappointed with the teacher. I walked in and it looked like an institution. It was white, it was stark, it was not what a kindergarten room should be, like happy and colorful. So I was really disappointed. So when we moved to Okinawa and we found out that we would be on McTee and she'd be going to Bechtel, the little school there, I was I was excited to get her in there. She was excited to be there. But the teacher that was there was another military spouse. She was phenomenal. Like the military spouses that are teachers that we had there were the greatest teachers my kids have ever had. And, myself included, like they're far superior and just incredible people. And then we came here and we homeschooled. So going back, we decided to put them in school there, and it ended up being a really big blessing in a number of ways. But it made them appreciate homeschool, and it helped them tie into the community there. I mean, they had church and they had other things, but it really helped them just kind of assimilate better. Only because, I mean, doing homeschool and co-op like Amelia is, it would have been the same one that we did, and those groups are really great. But having like assimilating to the culture and the community is really, I think, what sets us up for success when we do move duty station to duty station every 3 to 4 years, because we kind of have to jump all in. And I think, I don't know if it was in any of the questions I asked my kids, she said that moving all the time, it has taught them how to deal with things and kind of how to just jump right in and start figuring things out sooner and not taking their time.
Yeah, and I think
So.
that my kids, for the most part, handled stuff that way. This move in particular, Zoe actually had a hard time doing just that. She went through the motions. Like she got into the school and she got into dance and she started those things, but she really was just going through the motions and being a body in the room rather than fully engaging with potential new friends and enjoying what she was doing to the fullest, and she recognized that. It took her a long time to recognize that, and she only just now started like hanging, wanting and pushing herself to try to hang out outside of classroom or outside of the dance room or whatever. And that's been a
Yeah.
bit more of a struggle in this move. And I'm not sure if it's because we were in New Jersey for such a short amount of time, and so she still has that mindset of, well, we're getting ready to leave, but we're not getting ready to leave.
Yeah.
Or if it's that she just didn't want to start over.
I mean, it's also the age too. I mean, is she a year younger than Abby? Yeah,
She's
so.
around-ish Abby's age, but she is younger.
Yeah. I think it's the age too, because Emma kind of did that the year before we moved to Japan. Emma was kind of, and that's the thing, like our kids don't love moving, but at the same time they have like that nomadic soul that they're like, they get that itch, like, okay, is it time to move yet? Like, I'm ready for the next adventure. And she kind of got that and didn't necessarily want to like assimilate and integrate around peers that she'd been around for 3 or 4 years. And so Abby isn't necessarily, I mean, you guys know her. You guys know Abby and what she does around people. Like, she's just the introvert and she'll be goofy when she wants to around who she wants to. But, you know, I think that this lifestyle kind of affords them to like move and start over and start afresh, especially in Emma's case, who, you know, was completely different when we got to Japan versus leaving and getting here. So.
Yeah. And like Amelia was saying a little bit ago, with being the one who's left behind, I remember that first summer and through Christmas of us in Okinawa, those were the hardest on Zoe because that was the first time she was being left behind because we had lived in North Carolina when she was really little. And then we moved to Maryland and she went to a civilian school, same one that we're back in that school district now. She went there. There were no other military kids, so she was the one who was leaving. And then when we went to Quantico, we were there for 1 year, and her best friend was there already there with her, like moved there with us. But then they went to Japan with us, so she didn't leave anybody. She was leaving family, but she was leaving family who was in a different state, and she only saw twice a year anyway. So it was hard, but it wasn't that hard. In Japan, though, that first PCS and the off-season PCSers, that was the hardest that she has ever had to like so far deal with it because it was the first time she was left behind. And that was extremely difficult for her to handle. So yeah. I can feel for you, Amelia, as you're looking for that next level now. Sometimes it's easier to take them on trips, you know, during the PCS season and be able to be away. And it, especially when they're younger and be like, well, they're just gone. Like we left and they were there and then we come back and they're not there, but it's a little bit easier to like keep moving.
Yeah.
But during COVID, that wasn't something we could do when they started moving during COVID. So you were just stuck in that situation.
I agree. I think that there are elements of suck that are in both, you know, the left behind and the leaving. Mm-hmm. They're just different. But, you know, I mean, the hardest part with our family, I think, as far as the military life, is trying to get into a rhythm and coping when he's gone. Like, I notice a difference in my kids. How about you guys?
I think I said it a little bit last time, like, when they're gone for short periods of time, it's harder to like find a rhythm and it like almost kind of throws you off a little bit, like more than when they're gone for a long period of time. Because when they're gone for a short period of time, if you're working, for example, it's like, well, I need to find a sitter because they're normally home to take the kids, but I only need a sitter for like a week and a half or 2 weeks or 3 weeks or like whatever. Or, and then I don't need you again, but then I need you again in like 3 months. And if you're not working, it's like, well, dad's gone, but he's gone for such a short period of time. It's kind of like this like immediate disruption. And then he's back. Mm-hmm. And that's also a disruption. And I think when they're gone for like a longer extended period of time, it's so much easier to get into a rhythm, like
a normal rhythm,
Like when Sam leaves for like a week or two, that's so much harder than when it's like 3 or more weeks.
Yeah.
It's like those first 5 days, I think, are the hardest. But they're either the hardest or the easiest. Like the first five
that's
days.
That's true. I guess it depends on like, how long it is and what you're doing.
Got this. Like, I have, like, you know, we wake up, we're in this great rhythm, and then it kind of like, you know, slopes off. Or it's like the hardest and you're in not a rhythm, and then it gets like better as like time progresses. And there isn't like a magical like thing. It's just one way or the other.
Yeah.
But I definitely think, not saying that I want my husband to be gone for longer, but the short, like little gone.
And back and forth. Like it's worse. Here and gone, here and gone, here and gone. It's that kind that's
It's like the workups.
But do you notice
for all that stuff? And workups are harder than the actual deployments. Like the workups for anybody not affiliated, workups are the months leading and weeks, but the months leading up to a big deployment, they have to go out and do these exercises to prepare them, make sure that they're ready for whatever might happen when they're actually in like combat theater and like they're out there and they know what to do. They know that their equipment works because once you get out there, if your equipment doesn't work, like you're stuck. But they're gone for 1 week, come back for 3 weeks, gone for 2 weeks, come back for 1 week, gone again, back and forth. And it can be a lot of times it's about 6 months worth of workups for a 6 to 9 month deployment in the Marines or a full year for the like Army. And that is usually the much harder on families. And by the time you're actually seeing the deployment, it's like, okay, bye. Just be gone now, please, because it's a lot easier and I can get these kids, especially the small ones, to just every day, here we go. And it's not that they don't feel it. The emotions are huge no matter what. But even they, just like we were saying earlier, out of sight, out of mind, like they're not completely out of sight, out of mind. You still see them, and of course, they still miss mom or dad, but it's just an easier time to regulate when it's more regular.
Yeah, and I mean, my kids, like Emma was, he was deployed for her first birthday. He was deployed for our son's birth, and he deployed right after we got married, a week after we got married. So we went through those like very like long and extensive early on, and then we had different duty stations where he didn't have deployments, he just had things where he was sent away. So the 9 month deployment, my kid, what, honey? Okay. By the 9 month deployment, my kids were older. I think Emma was 12. No, she was 11 when he deployed. And, you know, and then Brody, he's my only boy. And so he's got all these women in the house.
So
And
much
he's,
emotion.
you know, yeah, 9 years old is a time when a boy needs his dad around. They have, you know, different things that they need. And that was a different challenge for us. I mean, my kids are pretty chill. They understand, and they were at the age that they could comprehend. They could comprehend that he was gone, he was coming back. But deployments, I think getting to the deployment is awesome, and you get through that first week because then you start the countdown to when they return. And that's what really helped my kids get through, is just like doing something different and changing it up and doing something new.
Amelia, how do
And
like have they gotten any easier at figuring out when he's gone? Like, do the kids handle those weeks better than they did before, or has that changed with their age?
I think it's like opposite for my kids. So like Josh did worse when he was younger, when Sam left, and now he does
Better.
like better than he did. He doesn't do better than like normal life.
Right.
But I think because he has, you know, like time is so different for kids. It just like they're
Yeah.
like, well, that's in like 3 years, and you're like, it's in 4 days, but
Right.
okay. You
Sure,
know,
we'll go with that.
they like time just moves differently for them, and I think he has like a solid grasp on time and things, and he knows that like now when Sam leaves, he's going to like not dangerous places. He's going to like Hawaii or America,
Right.
like you know, he's,
Yeah.
and I think he knows that like he's coming, he knows he's coming back, and he knows he's not going to be gone for so long, and he's only going to be gone for like a week or 2 weeks or whatever it is. And I think that he does much better. And then he also like, it's like, okay, well, dad's gone, and so I need to be more responsible and kind of lock it down and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Whereas when he was little, he's like, my life is falling apart. And Clara, when she was little, was like, oh, well.
Tall one is gone. Meh.
Yeah. But all, you know, I mean, when he would leave for extended periods of time, especially when she was a baby, he'd come back and she'd be like, don't touch me. Who are you?
Yeah.
And she instantly, like, not instantly, like, it's really funny because she'd be like that for like 3 days. And then after that, she's like, oh, you know, I love you. I'm obsessed with you. And if Sam and I would sit next to each other on the couch, she'd come running up and like sit in between us. Like,
Like
this,
smash herself, like this is my
yeah,
spot.
this is my spot. This is my dad. So yeah, she kind of didn't really care, and I now she's like oh, I don't like this.
Yeah.
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 And I think it's like more emotional for her now than it was.
No. But how did my kids, their ages, they didn't do that. They weren't scared of Jeremy. So how did Sam handle that? How did he cope with like his child basically rejecting him?
Sam's very logical. So he was like, well, I left when she was like, 10 months old or whatever, 9 months old. And I've come back 7 months later.
He
That's
wasn't
kind of
necessarily
normal.
like surprised.
Yeah.
Right.
So I don't think he was
More.
surprised. And then when she did it, when he left for like longer again periods of time, I think it, because she wasn't like scared of him so much as she was like, you left
Right.
and now you're back. And
I don't know.
I don't know. She's more like suspicious of him. And
That
he,
sounds about right.
because he's so logical, he always was like, well, I mean, she's little, so it's normal. And I'm sure it like hurt his feelings on like some level, but for the most part, he was like, it's to be
Yeah.
expected. And so he just like, continued to do all the
Yeah.
same things.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they do warn us about that. That is something that we are all told to expect. And that is a very logical, like, you have to be logical, but it's your child. Like, sometimes it's impossible to be logical. Like, we all know that. We've had our mama bear moments. Like,
Emotions.
we've dealt with it.
Yeah. Emotions aren't logical.
So
Like
that's good, though.
they're a literal reaction of your body that often happens long before your brain ever kicks in. And that's the same
Yeah.
with the kids though. You know, they the stranger danger, unfortunately for some, that is what happens. They come back from a deployment and their children see them as stranger danger because they don't know who they are, and it can take a long time. You know, thankfully for Sam, it wasn't all that long for him and Clara, but there are some kids who it takes a very long time before their
Yeah.
kids are comfortable being around them. And there's that's at no fault of parents. That's just nature.
But I don't, I'm very grateful that we're in the process of retirement. But one thing that happened with the deployment when our son was born, it was that they set up a video conference because like Skype and camera video chats had like just started kind of happening. And they set up a video chat for families in 2008. So we were able to, have that. And I think that social media, but particularly FaceTime and, video calls has been a huge blessing in our lifestyle and helped us cope with, deployments and all the things, even with like the kids talking to their friends. I mean, obviously, we talk about Clara and Lexi all the time,
Yes.
FaceTiming. And I think that that's a really wonderful thing.
Well, and they were doing it just the other night. It was kind of funny because Amelia and I were trying to talk, but we couldn't talk because they were talking. So we had to talk through a different platform so that they could see each other. And I can hear Clara yelling at Lexi through the phone, while I can also hear Lexi yelling at Clara from upstairs, and it's coming like down my stairs. And I'm like, wait, what is happening? But I could understand what Clara was saying, and Amelia could understand what Lexi was saying. So Amelia was telling me what Lexi was saying because I couldn't understand what Lexi was saying. I'm like, this is such a weird
Oh my
and yet
gosh.
amazing way, because I remember buying my first iPad with the purpose of wanting to get one that could do Skype, that had a camera. And it wasn't, my very first iPad was the first generation. It didn't have a camera, but I remember them talking about when they would, and thinking I need to have one, because by that point we knew that this was what our future was looking like. And that I knew that that was going to be something I really wanted. And of course, Skype was really the only thing at the time that you could use.
We still had to do letters. He was on a Mew at one point. And I mean, that's something that even in this day and age, people don't realize yet. Yes, ships have internet, but they don't necessarily have the ability to communicate with us. So when he was on the Mew, which is the Marine Expeditionary Unit, they are on a big ship and they go out port to port to port and do like whatever marine things. I don't know. Maybe you guys know. That's never appealed to me to find out. He's gone. He's doing his job. And when he's out there on the ship, we don't get to communicate. Like, we don't get to email every day. Like, maybe once a week, maybe once a month. He would call when he would be when he would get into port, which again is once a month or a couple months. So, I mean, we've had to deal with like that old timey style of communication. And I'm grateful that, you know, we haven't had to deal with any deployment like that since, because I think that that would be more challenging for the kids.
We got very
I mean,
lucky.
obviously kids deal with that, but
We got very lucky with well, even his Middle Eastern deployment was years in after. Like, yeah, it was very temperamental deployment for him still, but they had mail coming. So I got to do the whole, Lexi doesn't remember this. She was barely a year old. I guess she was about 18. No, she was not quite 18 months when he left. And so we did the decorated boxes that we sent at least once a month, but they were specific to whatever month we were sending them in. We tried to get them there before we did certain stuff. I remember Zoe got really excited about doing that kind of stuff, and it helped her. And then when he was on the Mew, the Mews out in Okinawa, they go out for much shorter periods of time, which I mentioned in another podcast about that they go out because they don't have the travel time, right? Their stuff is all much more local. So we had a little bit easier time of it was no more than 2 weeks without being in a port. So we didn't have to wait quite as long. And because of what he does, he had a little bit more access to communications devices and the ability to do that. And his rank. I mean, that really, at the time, that has a lot to do with it.
Yeah,
Like the ranks
it
at the
really does.
time change a lot of stuff. And they actually didn't get, they got mail, but they told us not to even worry about it because they moved ports so quickly. They didn't recommend that we send mail for those, which is opposite of many other deployments. They want you to, for morale, if nothing else. But the times
Yeah.
adapting and the kids being able to adapt to their communication over, I mean, even just the last 15 years for us. Like, what has
Oh,
changed in the
yeah.
last 15 years? And 15 years seems like a lot, but not really. I mean, really think about it. It's not all that long, and yet
Yeah.
technologies are allowing us to do what we're doing right now.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, like you just said, that like the adapting for everyone. And I think that that, as challenging as this lifestyle is, like adaptability has really is one of the key qualities of these kids, because they are constantly having to adapt to, you know, new schools, new situations, new job, new homes. Like we don't stay in the same house or city. Like we're literally moving across country, and a different house can be, you know, a big change. And some kids struggle with that, others don't. And then, you know, they're so mature. But
Yes.
one thing I have to say is that with all of like nothing is ever perfect, and you know, nothing makes it easier when one of your parents, or even, I mean, there are service members who both get deployed, dual service members that they get deployed at the same time, and other family has to watch their kids. So there's nothing that makes having your parent gone easier, but military and other entities, they do a really good job at taking care and giving us options. The USO is one of those entities that brings in famous people and opportunities. They do classes, commands too.
Maybe Amelia should tell this story.
Hello. Okay. Things like the USO, while you're, I guess out here in Japan, we call them sponsors, or like your service member is deployed. They're really helpful, and like whatever unit you're deployed with typically does things like the USO will have like days that you color and classes and activities for the kids, and units will try to do like if your military service members deployed over Christmas, they'll do like a Christmas thing. And it's nice because like everything kind of comes together. The service organizations that serve like military members, and they put on really interesting things. The USO has, you know, famous people come out. And it's just really cool that that's available for our kids and us too. Well, and I mean, it does allow for some like commiseration, I guess. Like, you can talk to other people and they're in the same boat. So it, even if you don't walk away with a friend, you've at least been able to sit with someone and talk who's going through the same thing at the same time. Like, obviously we all have done it and we get through it, but when you're in the thick of it, it just feels so different.
It does.
All of the volunteers are either former service members, they are former spouses, or mm-hmm. you know, retired spouses,
right,
or brats. And one of the guys was talking about how he was a military brat, and then he served, and then his kids served. And so he comes in here and volunteers and doesn't necessarily live close to his kids because, you know, they're service members. And that's kind of one of our plans when, you know, we retire, when we're no longer working and raising children, is to volunteer at the USO, because it is a phenomenal organization that does so much. Even, you know, every duty station has a USO, mm-hmm. and it's a great place for, especially in Okinawa, for young Marines to go in and like talk to their families. Mm-hmm. But it was really nice for our kids to be able to go in there, especially like during an orthodontist appointment. We have to drive all the way to another base that's super far south. They can pop in there and like relax and talk to people. And
yeah.
So anyway, I just think it's really cool what they do for us and
yeah, you know, our spouses. They definitely made it easier to travel with Zoe when she was a baby, because if I needed to, I mean, I was by myself. Wyatt just couldn't go with me. I was going home for like various family functions and he couldn't go with me. And if I needed to go to the bathroom or whatever, and she was napping or something, like, they were more than happy to help me out with whatever it was that I needed to be able to do and get me something to eat so that we could sit there, because we would have long layovers. And they mm-hmm. always have a playroom usually for the kids. And so that's one of the things, like, especially when they're younger. As they get older, they have ample amount of charging stations, so all the older ones can charge their stuff, and the little ones can play, and it works out really well. And my kids are very grateful for that. Obviously, you know, they both wanted to do that over other options, and I was like, that's fine. If that's what you want to do, then that's what we're gonna do.
Okay, what you may not know, Military Children Edition. Some children of deployed service members, or actually all children of deployed service members, can be at risk for behavioral issues. Obviously, we've discussed that. Sleep problems, depression, anxiety, even substance abuse as they get older. Thankfully, we haven't had to deal with any of that, but that is something that children are at risk of, just because, again, not having a parent at home mm-hmm. and off at work for extended periods of time, I'm sure, is a stressor, and it's hard for, you know, coping and getting the right coping mechanisms.
From kindergarten through grade 12, the average military child will attend from 6 to 9 different schools.
Zoe has been in 5 different schools and 1 year of homeschool, and Lexi, and she's in middle school now. Lexi, who's in early elementary, has been in 4 different schools and 1 year of homeschool. Pre-K through current.
So Emma, because we did homeschool, like brick and mortar schools, she's only been to 3. But if you count the 2 different co-ops and the 2 different charters we were a part of, that's 7.
7. And now she's graduating.
And then, so again, brick and mortar schools for Brody, he's 3. But if we count the charters and co-ops, he's at 6. And then both Abby and Charlotte, the youngest two, have 4. I guess it would be 5 if you count the co-op and the 2 different charters. And then for Charlotte, you know, 4 or 5 if you count like co-op, charters and the brick and mortars in Japan. But they've only been in, my kids have only been in public school in Japan.
In Japan.
Yeah. Otherwise we homeschool.
Pre-K through current. Okay, so Josh has been in
Look, Baba.
3 schools, and then we homeschool, and then Clara has been in 1 plus homeschool. But I also have, like, I don't have the youngest kids, but I have, like, the youngest set of kids out of all of us.
And I have, like,
does that make sense?
Yes, I have the middle kids, and Lacey has the oldest kids.
Lexi and Clara are, like,
the oldest.
Lexi and Clara, a year apart?
They're only 6 months.
Yeah.
They would.
Yes.
Yeah.
But my oldest is about to be 10.
Right. And
right.
Yeah.
Mine is About to be a legitimate teenager instead of
Yeah,
just.
that's ridiculous. I hate that.
Oh, so do I. Adaptability, as difficult as moving can be, children in general quickly learn the nuances of like their new surroundings and how to adapt and fit in. And most of the time, they're able to pick up positive coping strategies, especially military connected ones, because let's be honest, we all have to learn how to cope in this lifestyle. And so, the hope is that we are able to pass down our abilities to cope to them, and then they're able to move it over and transition that from moves to deployments and exercises and anything else that happens. One of the areas that Lexi excels at, and it works in somewhat in her favor for being a military kid, she will tell you she is shy, but both of you can attest to the fact that that child is not shy. She might be shy with an adult she doesn't know, but she sees anybody, and even
No, she's
then,
not.
well,
She
I'm
was,
you're
she
right.
didn't know me.
I
She's
know.
not shy.
She was not shy, but she, those are the only times when she might be like, but we're at the library. There are not friends here. And she just came in and was like, I'm going to see my new friend on Tuesday. I'm like, what new friend? But she showed up and she put down her homework and she went over to play with all of the kids who were here that she has never seen and most likely will not see again. Even though they live here, she has that ability to just meet other kids from all areas and stages and just go. And that's one of the things that I absolutely love about the military life is it is the quintessential like melting pot. Military culture is a big part of it. And our kids, probably all of our kids as they grow up, will say that that's one of the things that they like about it is that everybody has something relatable, and that something relatable is that they are a military child.
Yeah, that's exactly what Abby said when she said, like, going to middle school, never having been in public school, that was what made it easy, is that they automatically had something to relate to. But with like coping strategies, you said something that made me think about when we do move. Like, we don't get time really with our service member before they start work. Like, we get to where we're moving, and work starts pretty much right away. They can take some leave and whatever, and it just depends on where they're arriving to. But it's pretty much sink or swim, find your house, get settled, and everyone just kind of has to jump into life and get going. And you don't really get any time to, take a breather and make a plan. You have to do without thinking. So I think that's part of it. And perhaps like Lexi's thing, Charlotte does the same thing. So I don't know if that's like a youngest child thing. I'm not like that, and I'm the youngest, but there's, big gap and I'm whatever.
Well, and we
But
grew up civilian, like.
your story reminded me when we were, this is, that's true too. When we were at the beach like 8 years ago, so Abby was little. And she was like, I met a friend today. We're going to have a sleepover. And we're like, oh, really? What's her name? We're on base, so they're military children. And she was like, I don't know, but we could probably, she said she lives in like a white house. And so we asked another question. She's like, ah, dang it. I didn't ask like where her, which street it is. Or maybe she said, I didn't ask what color her house is. It was just the cutest thing. I do wonder like what they would be like had we not stayed in and we had got out when she was a baby. We, and it is a we thing, it's him, but it's a family decision when it comes, down to it later. But we wouldn't trade this for anything. It's taken us to all corners of the earth, and we're very grateful for this lifestyle, and our kids are grateful for it too. Like, they really appreciate the military culture and lifestyle, and the people that they get to share the title of military brat with. That's something really, really special to them.
Yeah, I agree. Amelia, do you have anything to add?
No. All of these qualities, I hope, are instilled in my children to be amazing adults. I think they will. Your children too. I call them my children, Amelia's children. I'll ask how our children are doing. I love them. They're amazing kids, and I know they're going to be amazing adults. And I know that because of the military brat that we know. We personally, well, we have mutual friends as well, but we know so many adults that have grown up, and they're incredible people. They're resilient, they're mature, they're organized. One person I'm thinking of in particular, and they often marry service members. Not that I want that for my kids, because I want them close to me.
True, yeah. I mean, there is that, but I think there is always the draw to like, and it's what they know. You grow up in this lifestyle. That's what they know, and this lifestyle came very natural to me. I didn't conflict strongly with this lifestyle, but then to see some of the adults, like out in Okinawa, one of our board members for one of the different groups that I was on the board for, she was a military brat and grew up and married an active duty, and or they got married and then he joined. I don't remember which direction it went, but they're living that now. And sure, she's salty like the rest of us, but she's salty on the both sides. But it is amazing to see that though, and be around them, and them being active and having their own families and having a healthy relationship, because it gives me more hope for our own kids too, of being like, because there are times very much when Wyatt and I look at each other and be like, is this fair? What are we doing? Because our children were born into this.
Absolutely.
They did not choose it.
Yes.
We are incredibly aware of that. So it's not something that if anybody's going to feel bad about it, it's going to be us. And no one else can make us feel better or worse about this decision than we are going to make ourselves feel about it when we have to go through something. And I own it, but I also do my darndest to give them as much stability in whatever it is that we're going through as I can, and give them as the best life that I can give them. Then to see others who are successful, it really is a heartwarming sight to see that on the other end.
I agree. I agree.
I love your add-ins. I agree. Nope.
Clara also agrees.
Clara also agrees. Thank you, Clara. With all of what we know and what we've said about how we feel about our kids and what we see when everybody else gets up, we went ahead and sat down with our kiddos and we asked them some questions like we did in the last episode, and we want you to hear their raw answers, like how they feel about the life that we have brought them into and do the best that we can with. Enjoy.
Do people assume that you want to go into the military because your dad is in the military?
No, I mean, I don't really know.
Do you think that because your dad is in the military, you feel a pressure to serve yourself?
I only feel pressure to serve on a moral basis. Yeah, not really just because my dad served, just as a kind of thing I want to do already.
What are your biggest complaints about this lifestyle?
Moving away from friends, but that gets easier, and you can always meet them again, so.
You and your best friend you kind of grew up together, and you guys are still like right back where you left off when we went to Japan, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Do you have any tips or anything that helped you deal with any of his deployments or exercises or things that just kind of helped you deal with him being gone for extended periods of time?
No, I mean, FaceTime was helpful. So, just stuff like that. That always helped.
Is there anything that we did as parents to help, or anything that you feel like we could have done better to help deal with deployments?
No, I mean, always comforting, and that's all you can do. And you guys did that, so definitely made me.
So, what's something that our family does well in dealing with this lifestyle?
We go to church regularly, so that helps.
We've always been really close. We spend a lot of time together.
Yeah.
Do you have any like random recommendation, anything that you would recommend to people, like boys your age or parents of young boys, or doesn't even have to be gender specific, like just anything you recommend aside from Dr. Pepper?
No, for parents, just love your kids and make sure they always know that no matter what. So, I don't know. Toaster oven. That's pretty nice.
Like the toaster oven?
Love the toaster oven.
Because you can get toasty like snacks and meals and you don't have to heat up the oven. Not soggy out of the microwave.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nice for snacks, little meals.
Yeah. Leave it to a boy to have it food related.
What is a common misconception about being a military kid?
A lot of people think that all branches are the same, but they're different and they do different things, like the Air Force, they fly planes, and the Navy, they do ship things. And the Marine Corps, honestly, I don't know what they do. They do intelligence stuff and they kind of just do their own thing, but they work with the other teams.
Other branches?
Yeah.
But you don't necessarily know everyone who's a service member.
Yeah, you don't. But you know a lot of them because, like, you usually like meet them some other time. You'll see them another time.
What is your biggest complaint about this lifestyle?
I don't like changing schools. I, because all the curriculum is the isn't the same. So I've had to relearn the water cycle about like five different times because it's not all the same for all the grade levels, so it's kind of annoying.
Yeah. What does our family do well in coping with military life?
Well, we all listen to each other and we kind of just like we ask about how they're feeling. If when we were moving, we went to like a little McMansion into like a off base housing that was really small, and then we went on base, and that was completely different from our old house, and it was a lot smaller. But we all knew we were feeling kind of down because it wasn't as nice as our old house, but we kind of just like helped each other out and knew that it was gonna be okay.
Oh, you're talking about when we moved from America in our big
Yeah,
house
into
into Japan
Japan with the small
and they showed
house.
us the really tiny on-base houses. Okay. How do you feel about your father's service?
I'm proud. I'm proud of him. He's worked really hard, and now that he's retiring, I'm even more proud.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome.
What's your random recommendation?
So if you live in around Southern California, there's a really good ice cream place in Bonsall. And they do boba, ice cream, smoothies, acai bowls. They do everything, banana splits. And they're just called Brain Freeze. It's really good.
The owners are pretty nice to you, huh?
Yeah, they're really nice.
Next week, we'll be talking to an amazing entrepreneur for Month of the Military Child. Her name is Hadley, and she is 10 years old. She started her own business. She's incredibly talented, and her designs and stickers and all of the things that she's creating can be found at her Etsy shop, Blue Elephant by Hadley, but she's also on Instagram under the same name, Blue Elephant by Hadley. And if you're in the Hawaii area, there's a craft show coming up that you should definitely check out, and go check out her website and all of her things.
Yes, I am so excited about it. I'm so excited.
Yeah, she's super cute. We hope you liked today's episode going over all of our military children and our thoughts on their lifestyle. We appreciate your listening through the month of April. If you're looking for more content, please visit Instagram, the Virtual Compound
No, this is what this. I feel like I should just leave this whole thing in.
Podcast. They do crap for us, okay? Like, holy crap.
They do stuff and it's great.
Oh, military children. I need to redo that. What you may not know, okay. First, it's the internet, now it's me.